The Worst Thing by Shalon Harkin. The worst thing we ever did was put God in the sky, out of reach, pulling the divinity from the leaf, sifting out the holy from our bones, insisting God isn't bursting dazzlement through everything we've made a hard commitment to see as ordinary, stripping the sacred from everywhere to put in a cloud man elsewhere, prying closeness from your heart. The worst thing we ever did was take the dance and the song out of prayer, made it sit up straight, cross its legs, removed it of rejoicing, wiped clean its hip sway, its questions, its ecstatic yowl, its tears. The worst thing we ever did was pretend God isn't the easiest thing in this universe, available to every soul in every breath.
Such a great storyteller, and he turns poetry into story. Thank you. Thank you. So it feels like I've been gone quite a long time. I've had many adventures, both inner and outer, and I'm really glad to be back, and I'm really glad that you all are here. It makes me feel safe and grounded. Thank you. So for the past 5 months, we have been contemplating the long dark and how it's affecting the whole life on this planet, us, our neighbors, the more than human world. We've held for these 5 months the underlying question, how do we live in such a world so that we can co-create the world in which we want to live and we want to leave our grandchildren? We looked at what unconsciously is holding us back from this new world and remembering to seek guidance from source, from spirit, from divine intelligence. We strove to deepen our relationship with the interconnected web of being, surrendering our notions of hierarchy and privilege to find our right place in the confluence of relationship with all beings. And we look to nurturing our own evolution, our roots, our trunk, our leaves, in order to show up to co-create the world, to turn the oh no's into that's okays. So for the past 5 months, I've been sitting with this, I've been mulling it, I've been praying about it, I've been trying to live as if these aspirations were becoming a true representation of my life. And as I say, I have been praying hard, asking my guides, what do I need to learn from this time in the chrysalis, this liminal space between old and new? How can I, right here and right now, be a midwife and steward for the new earth? Be careful what you ask for. While I was away this month, I was given a clear inner message to get out of the way of spirit, loosen up, to allow for miracles, to live in joy, and to live as the light. And to do this, I need to be more spontaneous. Why don't I speak extemporaneously for my next sermon? No notes. No, before you clap. Oh no, precisely. Thank you. Oh no. Oh, it was terrifying. Of course it was. Not concentrating on being skillful, giving up wanting to perform well, wanting you to approve of what I've said, not dispensing any hard-earned wisdom. It's terrifying to think of being that vulnerable, that open, that sensitive. There was a lot of waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning with brilliant ideas, which by morning, of course, I did not write down, even if I remembered them. Half I didn't remember. But the other half, it's like, no, I can't write this down. I have to speak spontaneously and extemporaneously. No notes. Okay, I get it. I get it, source. Then there was telling others that I was going to speak extemporaneously, because if I told everybody else, then I'd have to do it, right? Because if I didn't do it, I would just be copping out. And I wouldn't be doing it right. I should be doing it extemporaneously. That was the message I got. And then I just blanked out the whole thing. For a couple of weeks, I just didn't think about it at all. I was like, well, Lord knows I know how to talk. So something will come, right? Something will come. Then yesterday afternoon, when I realized there was less than 24 hours before I was going to stand up here, in this hierarchical place, above you all, right? I looked back at the process I had gone through, and I realized that the terror, the figuring out, the hubris, and the forgetting were all still strategies that kept me from being real, from moving from the heart as heart. So what if... what if, rather than cringing and withdrawing when we see our old pattern surface, we stop beating ourselves up about it? What if we gave up making ourselves wrong? What if we gave up making anybody else wrong? What if the world of getting it right, trying to fit in, trying to live into some idealized future through strategy and forcing our square peg into the round hole that we envision, which is exactly the same oppositional energy that got us into this place in the first place, what if that comes to an end? What's possible then? What if we could truly live with an undefended heart? Because an undefended heart is what stores the perception of beauty everywhere. What if we could rest in the authority of the heart, moment by moment, rather than being enthralled by what the others are going to think of us? What if we trusted joy as our most wise guide, even if that meant having no plan or strategy for making things better? Because in my personal experience, I can't think of the way to make it better that's going to be any better than what's happening, the source is bringing to us. What if we don't speak in order to anything, but instead speaking from deep soul rest without agenda? What would happen if speaking becomes listening and listening becomes a form of communication? What if I let go of any have to or any should, including speaking without notes today? What if it really doesn't matter if I spent weeks writing a sermon, had no notes at all, or whether, as it did yesterday afternoon, come pouring out the day before? It doesn't really matter. What if I could honestly say that if you receive these words as silly or crazy or naive or confusing, that is my gift to you today. Make no mistake, things are definitely already stirring. We may never know how we are changing the future. We can't know how we're changing the future, but we are. We can't yet see what lies on the other side. Some changes we might witness, not knowing our own part. And some changes we will lead. Absolutely, we will lead. We're the ones. How will you lead? What is the world your heart wants to live in? As Joanna Macy asked, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? I've relied a lot on poetry in this series, and because poetry to me speaks to the right brain, our intuition, our dreaming self in a way that logic and strategies and tactics can't touch. Poetry is a great example of how to loosen the guardrails of logic, hands and hearts free, and discover where our intuition leads, where we are led by the moment-to-moment circumstances we find ourselves in, with the intention to act kindly, to act with love. There's a poem by Adrienne Rich that starts, the first line, "A wild patience has taken me this far." I have loved this poem for over 40 years, probably. But now, in the seventh decade of my life, I am losing my patience. I want to spend my remaining energy, my remaining years, or if not years, days, creating the world I want to leave to those who come after me by living the vision of the new world, right here and right now, even if I don't know what that means. I want to stop wasting my energy trying to figure out the right way, the right strategies, the successful tactics. I want to be the medicine for others by who I am. I want to create relationships that invite aliveness and joy. I want to live my life in deep humility, knowing that I'm part of the world's mycelium network, and listening, being guided by the other and more than human worlds, who knows so much more than I do about what it will take for this world to thrive. I want to be fully embodied in the world in wonder and devotion, waiting for inspiration, whether that inspiration comes right now, or the day before, or the week before, it's okay. Again, transformation is happening whether we're ready or not. Despite not having all the answers, we need to have the courage to take the next step, to step outside the comforts of our own spaces and use our bodies and hearts to wake up from our collective delusion. Because there's an inseparable connection between personal and collective healing. They're the same process, taken at different scales. Ask anyone here who lives in co-housing. What does the world need right now? What do we need right now? We need some joy, people. We need to feel held in the power of quiet tenderness and fierce love. We need a good laugh, a good cry, a good hug. And that's what everyone else needs too. May we be the medicine the world needs. May we be the medicine that others need. May we be our own medicine. And may it be so. May we be so. And so it is. Aho.